One. Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD's
Woohoo!
continuing 2022-2023 preseason coverage. This is our Under the Radar podcast, and we are going Hoops HD Under the Radar old school tonight. Me and the
Yes!
puppet. Me and the puppet. That's it.
So when we started this, and I think when we started Hoops HD, you and I sort of wanted to do an Under the Radar show. We didn't know what we were doing. We did a really
We still
pathetic
don't.
job. We still don't.
And we still do a real pathetic job. But go
and
ahead.
We still do a really pathetic job. We need to go back and delete some of those earlier episodes because, you know, I don't think. But this is kind of, if you think about it, as much as we love the mainstream college hoops, at least you and I, isn't this sort of the bread and butter? Like every night it seems like the game that piques our interest the most is an under the radar game.
Right. And by under the radar, we mean the 22 conferences that are not normal multi-bid conferences. So not the Power 5 leagues, not the A-10, not the American, not the Mountain West, not the West Coast. Each of those conferences actually up there in the season previews tab got their own specific preview.
Yeah.
This one here, we're going to do the all 22 other conferences plus a few.
Bit. Yeah. And if you're watching this show, you're probably a really big fan and you don't need any of this explained to you. But when we say under the radar, there is no rule that says that these conferences can only get one bid. That's why I hate when they're called one bid leagues. I also hate when they're called mid majors. Those aren't terms you hear on Hoops HD. We're going to talk tonight about several teams that we think can get on or inside the bubble. Happens every year. But yeah, there's no rule against it. And technically everyone's starting out at zero. It's not probable, but if the SWAC or the MEAC or the OVC or whoever wins 75-80% of their conference games, they'll send five or six teams. Will they not?
Absolutely. They would, especially the schedules those conferences are going to play with all the bye games. But when it comes to some of these teams also, we do have a qualifier during the regular season that any teams for these conferences that break the top 25 in either of the major polls, we elevate them off temporarily, that individual team up off of being under the radar. We don't do that for the preseason. And anyhow, there is nobody in either of the top 25 polls. So it wouldn't have mattered anyhow. So
correct.
What we'd also going to do during the regular season in our weekly podcast is have a feature conference. We're not doing that tonight. We're just going to go through the 22 conferences in alphabetical order.
And I take it we're not doing a top 10 tonight. At least I hope not. I forgot to vote.
No, you know what? I think I saw, actually, our good friend Rocco Miller sent me a list, but I don't know what I did with it. So sorry, Rocco. We're not doing a top 10 either tonight.
if we find Rocco's list, that will be our de facto top 10 since that is the tally. Like, if you tally all the votes, that would be the top 10.
But here's what we're going to do is we're going to go through each of these conferences. We're going to discuss who we like to win the conference. Also going to look at a couple other questions. The first with each of these leagues. First of all, is there anybody else that could make it in the tournament as a second team for the league? Mm. Or the alternative, how about that champion of the league? Can they potentially get an at-large bid should they mess up during their conference tournament?
Right.
So, for example, you know, if we are picking – you know, Norfolk State to win the MEAC, the question will be, do we think they could get an at-large bid should they lose in the MEAC conference tournament?
No, but we'll discuss that when we get to the MEAC.
What I will do for tonight, though, is for the first time of the season, go a little screen share here for us.
Oh, this is good stuff.
This is the debut of our 2023 screen shares and workbooks. And this is the standings. We're going to be using this every week here for both our main podcast and the Under the Radar podcast. And as you can see, there's a lot of zeros in records. There's a lot of ones for all of the ratings because we don't actually have, we do have some preseason KenPom and Sagarin ratings up so far. Nothing else preseason has come out yet. The JNG ratings should be coming out in the next day or two. Not quite out yet. We're recording this on November 2nd, by the way.
Mm-hmm. All right, so good stuff. I guess we're starting off in the America East.
We are starting off in the America East. It sure looks like it.
Okay.
That's the first one alphabetically. Okay, we said alphabetical order. We're going to the America East. So, David, why don't we get right into it? This is the new alignment for the America East. Bryant, the new member coming over from the Northeast Conference.
Yeah.
Hartford out. They're an independent this year and going to be not even be D1 after this season. Stony Brook also out. They moved over to the Colonial. So new alignment for the America East. What are your thoughts on this conference this season?
This year, it looks like I think there's kind of a chasm between first and second here. I think Vermont kind of runs away from it. I know that they lost most of their starters from a year ago, but it seems like a lot of the new freshmen that they have coming in, at least compared to what the rest of the league got, and some of the transfers they have coming in, while it's a new roster that needs to mesh, I just think Vermont's pieces add up to quite a bit more than what anybody else has right now. Bryant is interesting coming over from, as you said, the Northeast Conference, a really successful stint in that league. I think this league for the most part is a little bit tougher from top to bottom, and while Bryant I think will do well, I don't think they're as good as Vermont.
Really?
Yeah.
You take a look at this Bryant team, they do have,
I know,
Charles
a lot of
Pride
people
back.
Like Bryant.
Charles Pride is back this year. I mean, Vermont is very good. They're always a power. I'm going to go with Bryant. I'm going to go with the newcomer. I'm
going
with Bryant
to
win this league. You know, we love the Northeast Conference. They are.
Oh, we do. Yeah.
They were a great team in the Northeast Conference last year. Peter Kiss is gone. Charles Pride is back this season. I am going to go ahead and take.
Okay, I got to admit it, Chad. When I saw them pick second, it did surprise me a little bit at Media Day. But everybody is pretty all in on Bryant. So you're going all in on Bryant.
I'm going all in on Bryant. I don't think we have an at-large bit out of this conference any better.
Yeah, I don't think so either. In what line are you looking at? I'm thinking it feels like if it's Vermont or maybe Bryant, I'm thinking 14-ish.
14 is probably their tops. Yeah.
I
have a dark horse team in this conference, though. Just a team to keep an eye on.
Okay.
Team that, hey, you, it is Lowell. You nailed
it. Yeah, I like them too. Yeah.
Okay.
And I know why you and I like them for the same reason. They kind of played well down the stretch. They got four starters back. They are a team to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I believe they won. Let me get the count here. Well, they just around 500 last year, but they've got some, three or four key pieces back. Really, as you said, played well late in the season.
Right.
That's where we are with the that's where I'm with the American East. Honestly, the rest of this league, you look at the Maine, UMBC, New Hampshire, and GIT, Albany. It could be ugly the rest of this conference.
Yes, very much so.
Right. But let's keep rolling here. We'll jump right over to the next league up, which is going to be the A-Sun.
What are they got? 27 members now?
Two new teams this year. Austin Peay coming in from the Ohio Valley Conference. Queens, new to D1. Welcome, Queens, to D1. The Queens Royals, they are also joining the A-Sun. They, much like Bellarmine, are not going to be eligible for the NCAA tournament, which Bellarmine was, of course, the story here, winning the conference tournament last year. Yet they did not go to the NCAA tournament because they were still a transitional team.
Right. And, the reason there's the four-year transition, or at least the stated reason, is that it helps programs become assimilated to the D1 level. It takes a while before they can compete. Bellarmine, obviously not assimilated, obviously not ready to compete last year, right, John?
Oh, geez. Well, they actually have three starters gone for that team, so I don't really expect Bellarmine to repeat.
Yeah.
Jacksonville was your regular season champ and they got the automatic bid because of Bellarmine
Jack
in the
State,
tournament.
Jack State.
Last year?
It was Jack State,
okay.
Not the Dolphins.
Okay, yes.
Yeah. Jacksonville State.
Okay. My question to you is, though, who's going to win it this season?
I kind of like – I know it's just kind of a cliche pick. I can't stay away from Liberty. I just feel like the resources they have kind of dwarf everyone else. Four starters are back from that team. I'll be honest, I was a little surprised, as good as they were last year, that they weren't even better. I just feel like their ceiling is higher than everybody else's. Not that there aren't other teams in here that can compete and be good. Jack State, normally pretty good, but it seems like they're always inconsistent. They always blow games that they shouldn't.
And their entire starting lineup is gone this year.
Yeah, their entire starting lineup is gone. Of course, that happens every year. It's always been a transfer-heavy team. No one really jumps out at me other than Liberty, Chad.
Well, I'll tell you. I mean, there are some teams that I do like a little bit here. Jacksonville, the other Jacksonville, with 20-plus wins, four starters back on the mm-hmm. Dolphins. Florida Gulf Coast always seems to be power. Pat Chambers now the new head coach at Gulf Coast.
Yeah, real good coach. Good hire for them.
Good hire for that for this level.
Yeah.
Lipscomb always been a power at this conference as well. It seems they have Hassan Assadullah, but I don't know what else they have to go with him at Lipscomb.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, this Liberty team has pretty much everybody back. Darius McGee is a stud. I
Yeah.
think Liberty, despite everything I just said about all these other programs, I think Liberty not only runs away with this conference, but if they can do something like undefeated or one loss in this league, which I think is within their reach,
Yeah.
this could be a borderline bubble team.
It
This could
really
be a
could
team.
be.
Could be a team that could be, should they get upset in the conference tournament,
Yeah.
having an argument for the first four.
Yeah, and I don't know if we can do this yet, Chad. Can we pull up their page just to see their schedule?
I believe we can. Let's
Yeah,
see what happens here.
test driving this. I will give you this on the
Oh, that went
Dolphins.
way too big. Let's see if we can
Yeah.
get this. Here we go. We
Yeah.
got Hartford's schedule up. We don't want that. Let's see here. Let's
Yeah,
go with
that is a
we're going
depressing
Liberty's schedule. Let's
story
see.
that, yeah.
There we go. We got
There it
Liberty's.
is.
There it is, and that is their schedule. That so
Yeah.
this is here.
So when you're looking at games, and again, I know we're all starting out at zero, that could potentially jump out at the committee. Obviously, at Alabama, I don't know. While I think they can play with them, they might be swinging over their heads. They're in an exempt event with Auburn, who's also
So
probably
they
swinging.
start with
Yeah.
Northwestern, then they get Auburn or Bradley in that event. Yes.
Yeah, Northwestern's not going to do much for them, but
It's still a Power Five. It's a power conference team, you know.
yeah. I will say this about the Jacksonville Dolphins, a team that you brought up. They were just a game behind Liberty in the standings. And I'll be honest, and you're looking at it, it's like, how in the hell were they that close? And four starters are back. So if anybody is in, I don't think they're as good as Liberty, but they may be better than everybody else to where they can keep pace with Liberty, if that makes sense.
I'll tell you, also look at the schedule of two games that you and I will circle, not many other people will.
Yeah.
December 12th at Oral Roberts, a very good Oral
Good.
Roberts
Yeah.
team we're going to talk
Yeah.
about
Good.
later.
Live
And then
wire roll up.
we just discussed Bryant as one of the teams in the America East. There they are playing Liberty December 17th. So those are actually games that will help things like the ratings because these are teams that are going to be at the top of their leagues.
Right.
So they will help your net. They will help those games, while not being power conference teams, those will be good games for them to have on the calendar there. Let's go back here. All right. Ace, let's go on to another conference. How's that?
Oh, okay, yeah,
I'm
let's do
not I
that.
don't really think anything else to talk about here with the Central Arkansas's and North Florida's and Stetson's of the world here. And
Right.
the Big Sky Conference up
Big
next.
Sky.
One less team here. We're down to only 10 teams. Southern Utah is gone. They're off to the WAC. So 10 team Big Sky this season.
Yeah,
Well, let me ask you where you're going on this first. Before I throw in where I'm going. I think it's an
okay.
interesting league this year, though.
I mean, I'm kind of going to go with I think where most of the prognosticators went. It is an interesting league. Montana State, 27 wins a year ago, a real breakout season. I know that they lost some of their talent, but what they returned probably their best player, and
Oh, well, he was a Big Sky Player of the Year last
yeah,
year,
Big
Miller.
Sky Player of
So,
the Year.
yeah, I think he's their best player. The
Yeah.
conference's best player, even. So, go ahead.
Right. I like them. I kind of like Eastern Washington as a dark horse. I know that most of the preseason polls weren't big on them in the Big Sky, but I don't like them as much as I like Montana State. But those are two teams that I'm kind of keeping my eye on.
Yeah, Eastern Washington, they do have three starters back and six key transfers coming in. So it's one
Yeah.
of those things, if the team could gel, especially late in the season, they could be dangerous. They could be a team that could steal a bit in the conference tournament. Montana State, we already mentioned.
Yeah.
Montana as well. You always got to look at Montana. They've got four starters back, and they're always a power in this conference.
They do, and they typically have been. Weber and Montana, seemingly for 20, 30 years, owned this league. And then the last 3 or 4 years, they haven't. And you kind of wonder what's happened to the Grizz.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're in there. But I got another team that I like here that we
Okay.
haven't mentioned. I like this Northern Colorado team a little bit heading into this season.
Yeah.
Their combo of Dalen Kuntz, Matt Johnson, they've got a couple players that put up some big time numbers last year. They're coming off of a 22 win season last year.
Yeah.
I know they lost some players, but their best players are back here.
Their best players are back. I think at the in the backcourt they are solid. They're as good as anybody. And I like them too, Chad. I'm glad you brought them up. The one piece that they that they may be missing, but maybe if someone steps up, it's questionable, is can they get it done in the front court? Can they get it done in the post? Can they defend in the post? If they can do that, they can actually finish as high as first. Because the guard play, their guards are as good as anybody in this conference.
And you know, I always love, especially these under the radar leagues, I always focus in on the guards. If you have great guards, I think you can make up for a lack of a front court. If you have a great
Yeah.
front court, that does not help you if you don't have the guard play. So if they can get enough front court play, get enough rebounds that they're not crushed on the on you know offensive rebounds and the like, I really like this Northern Colorado team, and they may actually be my pick to win this conference. In fact, I'm going to make them my pick right now.
All right. I like the pick. I'm still sticking with Montana State.
All right, fair enough.
As far as the bubble goes, I'm thinking not, but I'm thinking 13, 14 seed range if it's Northern Colorado or Montana State.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
And if it's somebody else, it could be a 16 seed.
Yeah,
So,
could be. Yeah.
yeah, we're not gonna. No, what we didn't discuss was Weber State, and I think rightfully so, perennial
Yeah,
power in
yeah.
this conference. But I don't see anything coming out of them this year.
Right, and the only thing to discuss about Weber State is what the hell has happened to Weber State? Like, this was a very good team
Well, now
for.
they're bringing in a new head coach this year. They only have one key player back. I just
Yeah.
think it's going to be a long season for the
Right,
Wildcats. I
yeah.
really do. Let's jump over to Big South Conference. Let's see
Yeah.
here. A smaller conference this year. Two teams out. Hampton and North Carolina A&T. A&T, and I believe one season they spent in the Big South before they moved
Yeah.
out. Hampton had not been in here very long either, just a few
Right.
years. But down to 10
But,
teams here in the Big South. So what are you
and I
looking at
love
here?
it. You know, like as a basketball purist, I love the 8-9-10 single division formats. And I'm actually probably more excited about this league because it is a 10 team format. And I'm just going to get right to it, Chad. One of the better stories in college basketball, at least over the course of several years, as far as how far they've come as a program, is the Longwood Lancers. Like, this was the dregs of D1. Did they ever win a centenary? I mean, I don't know if they did or not, but they
No,
were.
but they were bad for so long, and the only thing they
Yeah.
had going for them was they were part of our famous Wynwood Cup, which I don't have the
Right.
graph. I don't have the graphic for, but we could do a little this.
Yeah.
Yes, the Winthrop Longwood rivalry, the Wynwood Cup,
Yeah. Nearly ran the table last year, just losing one regular season game, winning the conference tournament, getting to the NCAA tournament. It's just to see them come as far as they have has really been remarkable. And I like them again this year.
My problem is they're going to need a point guard this year, and that's a big. Not only do you need good guard play, you really need a good point guard play.
Yeah.
And I have another team with four starters back. Drew Pember to lead the team. UNC Asheville. That's the team I'm looking at in this conference that maybe could be better than Longwood. Maybe
Yeah,
could knock them down this year.
a lot of people are big on them. I was a little surprised that they were picked as high as they were at Media Day. Yeah, I do know that they have four starters back, and I guess that experience takes them a while, but experience you can improve, but can you improve so much to where you go from 8-8 to first in the league just on experience alone? I mean, I think they're going to be better,
Well,
but I
but
don't.
there's not that much here, rest of the league, other than Longwood, that really scares me when I look at this conference either. So
Yeah.
I think the wins are to be had there. I literally don't think I didn't take a serious look at any of the other eight teams here as having a shot. I looked at two teams only in this league. I
Yeah.
just don't see it. I don't see it from a Winthrop. I don't see it from a Radford. I don't see it from a High Point or a Garter. I don't see any teams here that stand out head and shoulders. Longwood slips up a bit. I think Asheville's the team that steps in.
I can see that too. Yeah, I agree with that. And I know that, is this still the way it should be, campus sites in the conference tournament?
I will have to tell you quite honestly, I have not really looked at conference tournaments yet.
Yeah.
If you're watching this about a week or two into the season, go to the
They'll
conference
be,
tournaments
yeah,
tab.
they'll
It'll
be
be all
up
be up there.
there.
You can find that answer. Can't
Yeah.
answer that question right now. Hopefully it's still campus sites.
Yeah, because that just makes the regular season even more fun when you have the stakes. Longwood is my pick. I think the 14 seed is the absolute ceiling for this conference. I don't think they'll be as low as a 16, but I think that it's 14,
I
15
think it's a
range.
15 seed probably.
15?
Almost
Okay, yeah.
lock it into a 15 here.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the Big West. And for the first time tonight, a conference has no changes in its membership for the season. Same 11 teams we had last year.
Yeah. Oh, I love this league.
This is a fun league. It's gotten a lot better the last couple of years as they finally went to ESPN Plus for all their streaming as opposed to their questionable feeds.
Old Fisher Price style feeds that we used to have.
I'm going with a team that is a perennial power in this conference, and I think that this year that they do take it as well. Four starters back, Andre Kelly leading the way. I'm on the Gaucho bandwagon. I'm with Santa Barbara.
Yeah, I am too. And there's a couple of other teams in this league that I like and that I think are going to be a lot of fun to watch. One of which is Beach.
Yes, they're my second place team. Go ahead, talk about them.
Well, okay, the Gauchos are Beach. Beach. I just really like how they finished last year. You know, they won 20 total games. What they have coming back, and they're returning a lot of experience. Dan Monson has been there, if you can believe this, for 15 years, and his formula seems to be. Can we pull up their schedule because it is? Are they doing the regular gauntlet of out of conference games here?
Let's pull them up here. Yes.
Keep waiting for Long Beach.
Not nearly what they used to do. But they still have games at UCLA and at USC.
Yeah. And it's not anything like eight road bye games, but
you can barely read it there. That eight team event they're in, that the November 27th game will be against Ball State, Vermont, Missouri State, or UNC Wilmington. Just if you're trying to read the screen.
But they were the first place team a year ago. And the other thing about last year about this conference is that while COVID hit everybody, it just seems like it dismantled this league. There was no flow to it. Some of them were out for 20 days or longer, and it was just kind of hard to get going. But through all that, Beach was the first place team. How do you not like a team that was in first place and has a lot back? I just think them and UC Santa Barbara are both really, really good.
Hawaii is the other team that I'm looking at. They had some health issues last year.
Yeah.
Star player Noel Coleman. If the team can stay healthy, I think Hawaii can contend. I think there's some health questions around the team, though.
Yeah, there were last year, but I'm so big on UCSB and maybe the Beach. I think that they're going to possibly make a run for the bubble. Now, a lot of things have to happen. They obviously need to get at least a notable win or something of note in the out of conference portion. And then they need to avoid stubbing their toes in conference, which it's hard in this league because of the rivalries. You know, traveling out to Hawaii isn't easy. Even when Hawaii isn't particularly good, it's hard to win out there. But it just seems like every year that the Big West, whenever you see them on that 12 line, which they weren't last year, but it's just like, man, this team can win a game in the round of 64. And I think that that's what it is. Top 50 caliber team, possibly on or inside the bubble, in position to win a game in the round of 64, if it's UCSB or Beach.
Okay. I would agree with you there. Again, this is not a conference, though, that I look at anybody else in this. The rest of this conference, I mean, there were some good stories surrounding teams like Riverside in the last few years. I'm just not seeing them as... I mean, they could. These teams like Riverside and Irvine have a handful of players back. They could potentially surprise. I'm just not seeing it going into the season, but I wouldn't be shocked if a program like that stepped up suddenly in this league as well.
Right. Riverside, a good story as far as just how they've kind of turned it around and are building themselves up, but they're not built up the way the Gauchos are this year.
No. Next up, we have another conference with a lot of changes. One team out, James Madison, is going from the Colonial. Four teams in, though. Hampton, North Carolina A&T, Monmouth, and Stony Brook all joined what is now a 13-team Colonial Athletic Association this year.
Yeah, a little bit bloated, getting away from the traditional one-division format that I like. There's one team in this conference that I'm excited about, and maybe one that I'm sort of excited about, and everyone else is just thanks for playing. How good is Towson this year?
That is absolutely my pick to win this conference. You're looking at four starters back, led by Nicholas Timberlake. This team, they were the co-champions last year, and I think that, you know, What, we have Delaware in the NCAA tournament. They pretty much lost everybody. So, yeah, I'm absolutely right there with this Towson. There's a couple of teams that I like here, Delaware not being one of them, but I think Towson is the team to beat here. Maybe not bubble worthy, but could sniff the 13 line, probably 14, but could sniff a 13 even that good.
Pat Scarry has done an incredible job. I'm surprised. He deserves more credit for the job he's done from people other than us, because I think like we praise him quite a bit. But while I didn't agree with the decision to give Towson the Centenary Award when he first got there, they got the Centenary Award. It still should have been a
That's
bigger
our
team than
award for
anyone.
the worst team in D1. You
Worst
can find
team
it up there,
in
yeah.
Division One. They did not win a game. The next year they were in a position to, they were much improved, and here they are. I think the bubble is, they'd really, really, really have to stretch to get there, but I could see them on the 12, 13 line just outside of it. Maybe if everything falls into place, they get inside of it. But I just think
Uh,
Towson
this
is
this is
really good
still
this
this is a
year.
tough league. You have to dominate the league almost completely to get there, and I don't think you can. It's a tough league. There's a lot of tough places to play here in this league. There's a couple other good teams, including Hofstra.
Hofstra really good this year too. And that was the other team that I was kind of looking at. How about Speedy Claxton winning 21 games in his first year as head coach last year?
Yeah,
And
the
like,
Estrada and Dunbar are a great combo pair of guards there. And I already said I love guard play in these types of leagues. So Hofstra, a very dangerous team, I think.
Dangerous. And it's hard to win at Hofstra. Like, I mean, I it's not exactly a balanced schedule anymore, but hopefully, we get two matchups between Hofstra and Towson. Do we know?
I'm not. You want
Let
to
me
take a
pull up
look
this.
at the
Let me look at
Towson
the regular.
schedule here. We could pull up the Towson schedule here. I'm just going to mention there some of these newcomers like Monmouth and Stony Brook. I just don't think they're going to be contending this year.
No, not at all.
Let's see, Hofstra and Towson. There will be two matchups this year.
Okay,
They are
good.
January 16th and February 2nd.
And two really good games there.
I have one other team I want to just
All right.
mention, and you may laugh at me a bit for mentioning a team that lost 22 games last year. But I think last year was such a complete and total aberration. They do have a few starters back. Keep an eye on Northeastern. That's
You
all
and
I gotta
Rocco,
say.
I swear, like oh, I like Northeastern. As a program, I respect them, but it's just I you all seem to always think that you're Northeastern is to you what Richmond is to me. I always say they're going to be good, and sometimes they are, but
I mean, and it's tough to look at a team that lost 22 games and say, oh, they're going to be good. Last year was just such an aberration that they just, because they were one of our top teams heading into the season. They just, fell apart. Really did. But I could see a bounce back season this year. So keep an eye on them. That's all I'm throwing out
Okay,
there.
we'll be watching.
Let's head over to a conference that may be the first league we discuss as seriously having at large contention here,
Yes.
and that's Conference USA,
Right.
because Griggs, I know you absolutely love the chances of this Florida Atlantic team this year.
Yeah,
Now Florida International,
Florida Atlantic. I think they
Texas
could.
San Antonio. Now let's talk a little
If they
UAB hoops.
really pull it together, they can make it
You
to the
could
quarterfinals of
see
this conference
UAB
tournament.
actually got some votes in both the preseason polls, 40th they would have been, but this UAB team I think is going to be something could be something special this year actually.
And is this a team that might that we have a show come around February to where we're not even talking about UAB because they're in the top 25? They're not going to start off there. The way the polls work, it takes them a while to notice really good under the radar teams. But this is a very, very good under the radar team. Jordan Walker is a scoring machine. Andy Kennedy, say what you will about him, he's won pretty much everywhere he's been. He did a really good job at Ole Miss, had some good teams there, and I think that he's just doing phenomenal. I think this is a talented team that's well coached that we could see inside the bubble.
Yeah, he's bringing in transfers like Eric Gaines from LSU, Javian Davis from Mississippi State. I mean, he's bringing in SEC players here into this team as well in Conference USA. But Griggs, I'm going to take another step here. I wouldn't be shocked if we have two teams that we're discussing bubble possibilities in this conference, because in addition to loving this UAB team, I think this Western Kentucky team is super dangerous as well. Absolutely, four starters, and you're bringing in Christian Lander from Indy coming in as a transfer for Indiana here this year. And Emmanuel Acott from Boise State coming to this Western Kentucky team this year. There is a lot to like about Western Kentucky.
Right.
I could see the two teams finishing at the top, and I could see whoever doesn't get the auto bid being discussed for an at-large bid.
Yeah, I'll say this about Western Kentucky. Their ceiling is high. But after years and years and years of watching them like we have, especially in the Rick Stansbury era, how many times do they seem to not avoid the head-scratching losses and the toe stubs like they need to. So while their ceiling is high, they don't always play up to it. And, God, they have shot themselves not just in the feet, but in the face in the past.
Yeah.
Can they get there? Yeah, but they're going to have to do something they have not had the propensity of doing, and that's avoiding bad losses.
Yeah, they do have to, you're right, they do have to avoid the bad losses. And you also have to get through what's, this is not a bad conference top to bottom. North Texas.
No. North Texas is very,
a very good team. This is a great defensive team. And that, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's a great defensive team. They will be able to slow down UAB and Western Kentucky. I think when they go head to head, I would not be surprised to see them steal a couple of games from them during the season.
Yeah.
Be a very dangerous out in the conference tournament. And I mentioned Florida Atlantic as a joke, but the Florida Atlantic team know, won 19 games last year and has four starters back. You can't overlook that.
No, you can't. This is a very good league. Maybe one of the best overall top to bottom leagues, because whereas a lot of the under the radar conferences might have at best a bubble team or two at the top of it, but then it's smells really bad at the bottom. North Texas, you talked about them. North Texas was heavily considered for a bid last year and probably would have gotten one had they just not, you know, been so craptacular in that Conference USA quarterfinal game. They picked a bad day to have a bad day. They avoid that. They might get in. How about Middle Tennessee winning 26 games last year, bringing quite a bit back this year? The whole top half of this league is really good.
This could be one of the better years for Conference USA. It's now a smaller league. I think the bloating that it had in some past years when it was up to like 14 and 15 teams, I think it's good for this conference that's down to only 11. And I think it's might get a little bit smaller. There's a bunch, several more teams heading out, a few new ones coming in, I know. I'm not certain what the total number is going to be next season when all the realignment is done here. Let's move on though to the Horizon League conference. One team down here, UIC, is out. They're off to the Missouri Valley Conference, so down to 11 teams this season here in the Horizon. And Griggs, I got maybe three teams I'm looking at here. I don't really see any great team. This was a conference that really disappointed top to bottom last season, by the way.
Real disappointing. A couple of notes here. Purdue Fort Wayne, the preseason favorite. Your thoughts on that?
Four or five starters back. Jared Godfrey could play. I like them. Probably second in the conference. I think they're my second number two pick behind behind Northern Kentucky. NKU is my team here.
Northern. I think it just feels like it's going to be a race between Northern Kentucky and Wright State, which is you know sort of deja vu. I like Fort Wayne as well, or Purdue Fort Wayne. I just didn't think that they were. I was surprised to see them picked first.
I like them second. Like I said, I'm not so high on this Wright State team this year. Honestly, they lost their top two players to the transfer portal. They weren't that great last year to begin with. I don't see it there. I'd almost look at Oakland as a third team, maybe Wright State down in fourth place this year.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. And, you know, Oakland, again, should be better than they were last year, a sort of modest 18-win season. IUPUI... I just want to mention them because they did something.
Go ahead. We're not just
they finished last season with five players. They played it. Their last game of the regular season was the first game in I don't know how many years where a team did not make a single substitution. The reason being there was literally no one on the bench. Are they going to be better?
you can't be worse.
Detroit
Mercy, just want to keep a look at them for the Antoine Davis, who's going to score about 10 billion points this year, but the team probably win about five games also.
Yeah. I'm curious to see what's next. Are we going Ivy or are we going Indy? We're going Ivy.
We're going Ivy League next, where we know our friend John Titel is a Penn Pengrad. He's not here for this show, but he'll be very happy, I think, to hear that I'm picking his PenQuakers to win this conference this year.
Yeah, it's just kind of like it seems like Penn and Princeton were the two flag bearers and front runners for so many years. But lately, we've seen Harvard put together some really good teams. I think getting into the top 25 for a bit, getting a 10 seed 1 year, Yale being really good, Yale winning a game a few years ago. But this year, it looks like sort of vintage Ivy with Princeton and Penn sort of running away from everybody else.
Yeah. Well, Penn, four starters back, led by Jordan Dingle. Really like them. Princeton, both their top two players are back. Langborg, I probably butchered his name. The key deciding factor here, though, even though I'm going with Penn as my team to win this conference regular season title, the Ivy League tournament's be hosted by Princeton this year. That could be the deciding of who is in fact in the field. Princeton may be able to use that home court advantage in the tournament to get the NCAA tournament bid here.
Yeah, and I mean, we've seen some the way they set up the tournament, that is a huge advantage for them to be hosting it. Something I forgot to mention about the Horizon League, I'm thinking 15 line. And I'm thinking the same for this league.
I'm thinking the same for this league here. I don't really see – Harvard might have a little bit of life. They got a star in Ledlam, but I really think it's a Penn-Princeton 15-line type of conference. Yeah. Absolutely, I agree with you. Let's keep moving on here. Let's go over to the Metro Atlantic. This is a conference that has one team out, Monmouth, being replaced by, from the Northeast, Mount St. Mary's. So still 11 teams in this league. And,
well, up until, I guess, about a week ago, I was kind of excited because Manhattan, the way they finished last year, all the pieces they had coming in, it looked like we were going to get the war with Iona and Manhattan, which really is, we talk about it every year, one of the bigger, better, under the radar rivalries out there. They had a bit of they hit a bit of a speed bump, didn't they, Chad?
We lost. There was a screen again. Okay, yeah. Manhattan had a little bit of a speed bump as Steve Masiello, on the eve of the start of the season, out, gone. Their head coach gone. Players of, who's even around? Who's left the team? I don't even know who the roster is going to be at this point. But long story short, you just got to put the weight out at the bottom of the standings at this point until, which really means that rival there, Rick Pitino's Iona Gales, I think they could run away with this conference. I don't know that they quite get out to the bubble talk, but I think they could be talking 13 line, the dominating performance in this league.
And I think they got an outside shot at making it onto the bubble. I think that for much of last season, it looked like they were going to. Your last impression is the one that people remember, and people kind of forget that as exciting as St. Peter's Elite Eight run was, Iona was really the class of this conference all the way through, objectively better than St. Peter's at every measurement other than what happened in the conference tournament.
And it's kind of funny we got this far into the Metro Atlantic and not discussing the team from this conference that was one of the eight final standing teams in all of the NCAA last year, the St. Right. Peter's Peacocks. An amazing story because this is our preview show for this season. And there are 11th on the screen right there because it's in alphabetical order. They may not be that much higher than that at the end of the day with everybody, including Shaheen Holloway, their head coach, gone.
everything. And pick to finish eighth. And while we're on the subject, St. Peter's could have had their top six players returning and their coach. And if that happens, where are they in the world of college basketball?
I'll tell you where they would have been. They'd be the media darlings. They would have been a top 20 team, and they probably would have finished third or fourth in this conference because that's about all they were last year. They just caught lightning in a bottle, in my opinion.
They certainly did, and it kind of raises the question, and we're not going to harp on it. I know we got a lot more to get to, but I know Gonzaga is the ultimate example, but they're not the only ones. Butler was an under the radar team. Davidson was an under the radar team. George Mason, another one. VCU, another one. The idea that an under the radar school can have repeated success in the tournament and suddenly build up the entire stature of their program, not just have a single great one, but elevate their entire program. Is that day over, Chad?
I don't think it's over, but it's hard to do because normally what's going to happen is exactly what I would see Peters. All the players transfer out to bigger name schools. Head coach gets a big lucrative contract, and you really can't blame any of them for doing it.
No, you can't blame them at all. It's just part of me, what I always loved. How much fun was it watching Davidson just literally elevate their entire brand? Same with VCU, same with Mason, although Mason's kind of gone away a little bit, but people don't remember Butler was in the Horizon League. They were an under the radar school by every definition.
A couple of notes of this season, Metro Atlantic, two other teams that I am looking at probably in the battle for second place type of thing behind Iona. Quinnipiac here has a couple guys in Matt LeBlanc and Desi Jones, could be a dangerous team. Ryder has almost everybody back. I also looked at them, but we're looking at, you know, a complete, you know, who's going to win for the battle for second place, I guess, is kind of what I'm talking about here. I just see Iona running away with this league.
Right. And I do have an exciting announcement. Stalica is rebooting his computer. He might be joining us soon.
Oh, well, then we no longer be old school. I don't know. We're mid school at that point. Yeah, well, let's while we wait for him to see if he could jumps on here, let's jump into the next conference up, the Mid-American Conference. No changes. Same 12 teams as last year here.
And the year before that. This conference.
It's been a while since there's been any change in membership.
At least to the basketball lineup. I know football's had some affiliate members, but
there are two teams that actually really like in this conference. One of them is the one that did get those preseason bids. I think this team has the capability to be a bowl team. That is this Toledo team heading this season. They may be better than they were last year, and last year they won the league regular season title.
Yeah, Toledo really good. I think Kent State is right there with them.
That was my 1B team. I think that I've got both those teams. If either one can run away with the conference, I think could get into the at large consideration. Kent State's going to lead the way, and this team should be really, really dangerous.
And these are really good teams. I will say this about this league, and if you watch the show, I'm not saying anything that you haven't heard before. This league is tough. Sometimes it's very tough to run away from because the teams are good and the venues are intense, and it's hard to win at Buffalo, and it's hard to win at Kent, and it's hard to win at Akron, and it's hard to win at Ohio, and it's hard to win at Toledo. These are snake pits.
And you mentioned Akron here. You know, I mean, Akron won the bid, got the automatic bid last year. Took UCLA to the wire in the first round. This Akron team has about half of the roster back, enough players that this could be a good team this year also. So it's not, you're absolutely right. You're not going to run over many teams in this league. There's a few you might run over that have a directional words followed by Michigan in their name, but other than those three,
you're not getting. And here's another extreme example. If you recall a few years ago when Nate Oates was at Buffalo, they were seeded sixth. They were ranked in the top 25. They lost three conference games. So as good as they were, a top 25 team, they still could not run the table in this league. It is very hard to do. So are these teams good enough to get inside the bubble? I think they are. The question is, in order to do it, I think they almost have to do what Buffalo did and get a notable win or two out of conference, whether it's Kent State, Akron, or Toledo.
Yeah. I think there's one other team worth mentioning. Maybe for Sleeka's benefit, he's not here yet. We have a new head coach at Miami of Ohio.
Yeah.
That would be Travis Steele.
Mm-hmm. Former Xavier coach. He certainly has his work cut out for him. They're picked to finish 11th. I don't really know what
that might be generous.
Okay.
Let's roll on here though, and let's move right over to the MEAC. Eight-team conference, no change. Same eight teams we had in here last year, and I've got a team here that won 24 games last year. Pretty much everybody, including their star, Joe Bryant Jr., is back. And my pick, I think, to run away with this conference is Norfolk State, and maybe avoid the 16 line if they get real lucky.
If anybody can avoid the 16 line, it's Norfolk. Anybody else, I don't even think they avoid the first four. Norfolk could get up to the 15 line, and the only reason I say that is because I think they're so much better than everybody else. I could see them running the table, doing the double, just going the straight 14-0 during the season and then sweeping through the conference tournament.
Yeah, I mean, Howard has a couple of nice pieces, but, you know, they've had nice pieces in the past, a bit horrible, and I think they'll be about the same now. Howard, if you got to pick, you've got to tell me who's going to finish second place, I'll take Howard, but that it's the best of the rest of this conference here.
Right. So, again, it's Norfolk and friends.
Yeah. I think that's going to be our quickest conference of the night. Let's just jump right over to a conference we're going to spend a little bit longer on, and that's the Missouri Valley Conference. And another team that I absolutely love and I think could be in the at-large picture here. How about these Drake team here, Griggs?
Really good. This is going to sound strange to say. Last year, we were debating at this time before the season started, should this even be an under-the-radar conference? And Drake was one of the reasons. And this is a weird thing to say about a team that won 25 total games and – I thought they could have been even better and maybe should have been even better, but they have so much back from that team. I think that this is a
four double digit scorers coming back led by Roman Penn, Tucker DeVries. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. And I think this is a team. And again, it just takes the voters a while to sort of recognize some of the really good under the radar teams. This is a team that we're going to see in the top 25, Chad.
I would not be surprised. By the way, I didn't mention the changes in this conference, significant ones. Loyola Chicago out, they're off to the A-10. They've permanently moved out from being under the radar. Congratulations to the Ramblers. So there you are. You can move up as this example of a team that is moving up that we were discussing before. Three new members, though. Illinois Chicago coming over from the horizon, and both Belmont and Murray State, the class of the Ohio Valley, moving up to a better valley than the Ohio Valley.
They went from the Ohio Valley with no schools in Ohio to the Missouri Valley, which at least has a couple schools in Missouri.
There's a few schools in Missouri here, yeah. Beyond Drake, who do you like best next?
No one as much as them. I do like this Southern Illinois team. I know that they're kind of a dark horse, but they got two of their top scorers back. I kind of like how they finished last year. Or I just like I don't know what I'm saying. I'm falling all over myself.
With Mo Mask and Jones, I think that they're a tough team. Missouri State, a very transfer heavy team. If these transfers come together, this could be a dangerous team. Belmont coming in great in the Ohio Valley, but eight of their top nine players are gone. I think it's gonna be a tough first year for them in the MVC.
Yeah. So Belmont and Murray left the OVC to join the MVC, like you said, and they forgot to bring any of their players with them.
Same thing with Murray State. Steve Frome back as head coach, though, for Murray State. So.
Yeah, Steve Frome is back. No one else is.
Yeah. So that is that's the Missouri Valley Conference. The rest of the teams here, I don't really see much of anything coming from them. Really love this Drake team, though. You gotta love the Drake, right? Gotta love the Drake.
Yeah, I think that this might be sort of what we saw from Murray State last year. They might be able to get as high as 8 or 7 and be wearing white. And you mentioned the four double digit scores. What you didn't mention, Shan, is just how good of a defensive team they are. When you got four double digit scores and you're that good defensively, you're going to win a lot of games.
Yeah. This is a good Drake team. If we were going to do our top 10 polls, they might be my number one team.
Yeah, they would be. Yeah, right up there.
We're not doing it. I lost my email for my notes from Rocco. It's time for our favorite conference among all the under the radars. Yes. It is time for the Northeast Conference. Now, Bryant is gone. They're no longer Northeast. We don't like Bryant anymore. Mount St. Mary's is gone. They're no longer Northeast. We no longer like them anymore.
We have,
joining this league this year, our new favorite school in all of Division I, moving up this year,
the Stoners.
The Stonehill Stoners.
When I first heard that, I was like, is that really their nickname?
Well, let's double check. We can check in here because our team sheets here do tell us. Yes, it is the Stonehill Stoners right there on the top. You can see it.
Oh, that is fabulous.
Parentheses Skyhawks. Not necessarily what that's up there for, but yes, this is the Stonehill Stoners. Yeah. Their first year in D1. As far as them this season, I'm not expecting anything. I tell you, though, talk about transitional teams. Talk about Bellarmine did last year. Merrimack is in its fourth and final transitional year this year. It means they are not eligible for the NCAA tournament. They are going to be actually eligible for the Northeast Conference tournament, by the way, that the changes the rules of the Northeast. They'll get a chance to win that tournament. And this is a team that I think can pull the double. I think when the regular season and the postseason tournament, this is, I think, the best team by far in this conference.
They are. And is it time to change the transitional period to 2 years, John?
Absolutely. I would change it to 0 years, but that. But at least, 4 years is way too long. What Bellarmine did last year,
and what this Merrimack team Merrimack is going to do. Won this league. They were the first place team. So, they would be my pick if they were eligible for the NCAA tournament. I think they'd be on the 16 line. This is a great league. I personally think they're
led by Jordan Miner is probably the best player in this conference. He leads them. They've got four starters back. I love this Merrimack team. Here's the problem. Beyond Merrimack, other than Stonehill, we know is ineligible, there's not much of a difference between second place and last place here. So that's
what makes this league so awesome. If you do not have any Seafront Row, stop what you're doing right now. Stop the podcast. You can actually stop the podcast and download any Seafront Row. There is no better app in existence than any Seafront Row. You and I, well, I have. I've called the commissioner, tweeted it at the commissioner. Instead of playing out of conference games, can they just do a 32 game format where it's just a quadruple round robin?
Well, here's the way it's going to work for the Northeast Conference, actually. Is most likely, if what happens is Merrimack does pull the double, whoever is the second place finisher in the regular season will be your automatic bid winner. So this is a huge regular season because you may be playing for the automatic bid in the regular season if Merrimack wins the conference tournament. You may be doing what Jack State did last year. So, I look there, I know there's a team that you like, and there's a team that I like. But I'll let you throw your team out there first because I don't like the team that you like. But go ahead.
Sacred Heart.
Don't like them. Go ahead. I'll give you a shot. I don't think they win this conference, but.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
Merrimack's who I like. I like them all. Who do I like?
Well, I thought you were on the Sacred Heart as second place team. I actually have two teams that I think that I'm looking at as being the teams that are vying for that second place finish year.
Okay.
And they're both named St. Francis. I like them both.
Interesting. Now, here's the thing. St. Francis Brooklyn, never been to the NCAA tournament. One of five that have never been.
Four.
One of four.
Northwestern is off the list.
Northwestern got there. If they get in as the second place team who does not win the conference tournament, does it count?
Yes, it does. And it would be awesome for this conference to have it happen that way. Yes, they're one of four teams along with Army, Citadel, and William & Mary that have been members of Division I since the inception of Division I and have never made the NCAA tournament. There's plenty of teams that have never made it. But the other team, though, is actually going to be my pick slightly over SFBK is SFPA, the Red Flash there. They lost over 20 games last year, but they have four starters back, and that's a lot more than most of these teams in this conference other than Merrimack can say. And so that's why I'm kind of going on the Red Flash here. Maybe that the experience will be enough to help them have them win this conference. Mm-hmm. Let's jump over to a conference that really got rocked by realignment. Murray State is out. Belmont is out. Austin Peay is out. They lost teams the year before when Eastern Kentucky left and Jacksonville State. The Ohio Valley Conference does have 10 teams. It found 10 because they went down to D2 and they grabbed Lindenwood.
Yes.
And Southern Indiana.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Get to speak about those two first.
Southern Indiana, transitional team, as you mentioned, picked to finish seventh at Media Day. Oh, my God. Is that not an indictment on how bad this league is? Transitional team picked to finish seventh.
The other new member here is coming over from the Sun Belt is Little Rock. Little Rock, one of two non-football playing Sun Belt members. Them and Arlington both left the Sun Belt this year. Sun Belt's going more football centric. Little Rock coming over to the OVC though, and They're going to be my pick to win this conference, and they may be the only team I think that could avoid the first four, maybe go to the 16 line if they could pull the double, but this is probably a first four league.
Well,
I like Little Rock, just they've got all five starters back in the team, and I love returning starters.
Well, they won 9 total games last year.
So where are you going to, are you going to go with in this conference, though?
I don't know.
Belmont and Murray are gone. Even Austin Peay is gone.
Yeah, Moorhead has won, you know, they won 23 games a year ago, but everybody's gone.
Everyone's gone. Tennessee Everyone's State. Gone from that Moorhead team. They were great. If this was 2 years ago, Moorhead team, they would run away with this conference. It's not the two years ago. Johnny Broome has played for Auburn. He's not playing for – go ahead.
Yeah. Well, Tennessee State was picked to finish second in this league. Based on how bad they were a year ago. Is it exciting that Murray and Belmont, having the kinds of programs that they have gotten a chance to kind of move on to the Missouri Valley where, you know, it's a step up in competition? Absolutely. But the Ohio Valley, granted largely because of Belmont and Murray, was becoming a team that regularly had teams on the bubble and sometimes inside of it. Certainly inside of it last year, Murray State way inside of it. And they were winning games in the NCAA tournament, and now – where does it rank? 27th, 28th out of the 32.
It's way down there. When we're looking at, can Little Rock get it? SIU Edwardsville, who's never been before, never even barely ever even qualifies for the OVC conference tournament. Yeah. They've got four starters back. You got to look at a team like that. You got to look at Tennessee Martin. At least we'll have the best player in the conference. Parker Stewart left for a year. Now he's back at UT Martin again. I'm going to go Little Rock, though. I don't know what you want to go with this conference.
I'm going to go with Moorhead on the 16 line.
Okay.
Is no one joining me on the SEMO bandwagon?
Oh, my God.
There he is. It is Mr. John Stalica joining us.
Is this what's considered fashionably late?
Frankly, I'm disappointed you didn't ask me for an NEC prediction where I would have gone with the Wagner students to finish first.
Oh, you got to let us know.
Were you on while you were talking about that? You should have spoken up.
Gotta speak up, Stalica. Okay. Stalica, welcome to the show. Real quickly, OVC prediction from you, and then I'm going to go right to you for our next conference.
I would say Moorhead is still probably going to finish first. I still have SEMO as my dark horse in second place here.
Okay, you're wrong because it's all Little Rock, but let's move on to a conference with no realignment this year whatsoever, a conference where actually things are going to be exactly the same as normal, out of my opinion at least. Yeah. Mr. Stalica, the Patriot League, should we put Colgate in pen or should it just be pencil?
I think you can go ahead and put it in a Sharpie, as our good friend John Rothstein would say.
Yeah, any other thoughts on this Colgate team? Griggs, Tucker Richardson's back. It was the class last few years. I think it is again.
They ran away 16-2 in conference play, but the way they were playing at the end of the year and the way they just – and this is normally a really fun conference tournament to watch. It was the Colgate Invitational. Like, it was just domination on a level that I don't ever remember seeing in this tournament really from anybody. And there's been some pretty good teams coming out of this league in the past. I think Colgate is so – it wouldn't shock me if they not just won the league, but, again, lost two games again or fewer. And how high can they get on the seed list? 13?
I think 14 is probably the cap.
Yeah. But this is a good Colgate team.
I do have three teams that I look at, you know, if we look at who's going to finish second place. I do like this Lehigh team. They've got a good combo of guards here with Evan Taylor and Keith Higgins. I think that they'll be up there and towards second place. Loyola, good news, four starters back. Bad news, the one that's not, it was Cam Spencer, who was their star. He transferred out, so I don't know much. And how about Army as a potential dark horse in this conference? They got Jalen Rucker, who's going to score about 300 points a game. They'll probably be giving up 400 points a game, but it's going to be fun to watch, I think, at least.
Well, yeah, Jalen Rucker is good. I just don't know if he has enough supporting cast. To gush over Colgate a little bit, they took Wisconsin to the wall. And this is a team that might run at the bubble. You don't think they're that good?
I don't think they're going to make a run at the bubble. I don't. I'd be shocked if they got anywhere there. They may get some top 25 votes for a gaudy record, but it's not going to be bubble worthy, I don't think. Especially
there is going to be one other program I'd like to watch here, and that's going to be Lafayette, who's going to be without head coach Fran O'Hanlon for the first time in what seems like 25 or 30 years.
Yeah.
Now, as our good friend Titel would say, there is a Penn grad named Michael Jordan, not the Michael Jordan that you the other may Michael know Jordan. And love from Chicago. Yes. The 2000 Penn grad, Michael Jordan.
The one that played a lot more college ball than the other Michael Jordan you're talking about.
One more games, I think.
Stalika, the SoCon, always been one of our favorite leagues, always a tough conference, always it seems to always have a team near the bubble. What do you think of it this year, and is anybody near the bubble this year?
Well, I'm not so certain about near the bubble, but keep in mind, Furman was painfully close to making the NCAA tournament last year.
Heartbreak against Chattanooga, yes, heartbreak.
Yeah. Yeah. And then after the season, Lamont Paris leaves Chattanooga to take over the South Carolina job.
Yeah, Chattanooga, yeah. I'm not looking at much from them. Dan Earl coming in as their new head coach, but they've got a lot to replace. But Greg, this Furman team this year is my pick.
They're mine too, and again, really got close last year. I don't know if I think that they're bubble good. I think they'll need the automatic bid, but they really are awesome. They sputtered down the stretch a little bit last year, but again, with what they have coming back and how good they looked at other parts of the season, I just like Furman a lot. There's another team we have to talk about.
If you follow media day,
you know who it is, because Samford has never, in recollection, had anything like these expectations before.
Yeah, Samford, four starters back, led by Quest Glover. This is a team that, quite honestly, I think you just recently posted that media day preview. I didn't even read it, but they absolutely are a team that I'm looking at here. I don't know they're good as Mike Bothwell and Jalen Swanson, everything that Furman has, but this Samford team, I think, is right there. I also think that the UNC Greensboro program is always dangerous. They've got a lot of returning players.
They return everybody.
Wofford has a kid, BJ Mack, that's going to be another huge scorer, kind of like we were talking about with Army. So there's other teams that are going to be tough here, which is why I don't think Furman is going to get to the bubble. There's too many good teams in this conference.
Yeah. Wofford down a little bit, like you said, but this is another great 10 team format. And can I give I have to give a shout out to the battle for ninth place. And this is going to sound disingenuous. I love the Citadel VMI rivalry. I like watching them both play. I love it when they play each other, even though it's so bad on paper in the metrics. It's one of my favorite under the radar rivalries. It really is.
They're always a fun game. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Let's jump over to the Southland now.
What line, Furman? 13, 12?
Well, 12 is bubbles. No, I think 13. Yeah. I'm thinking 13 is their cap and maybe 14, depending on how things play out. But
anyway, moving on to the Southland.
Southland Conference, a few changes here. First of all, Houston Baptist is no longer in this league because they are now Houston Christian, new name of the school. Secondly, Texas A&M Commerce, welcome to Division I. They are one of our new D1 teams this year. And thirdly, Lamar, after spending one season out of the whack, has returned to the Southland Conference. And maybe I got to go fourthly here to talk about another team, because 2 years ago, we did not expect Lamar to be here because they announced they're going to the WAC. We also did not expect Incarnate Word to be here this year because they had also announced at the beginning this season they were going off to the WAC as well. They kind of changed their minds on that, decided to tell the WAC to go you know what, and the WAC is now suing Incarnate Word over this whole thing. So it's now in the courts over a breach of contract to go join their conference.
That's just a little rough. suing the team that's picked to finish last in the Southland.
Why did you want them? You shouldn't have even wanted them.
Candidate we got here.
Stalika, Texas A&M Corpus Christi is our defending champion, so they're going to do it again.
Well, unfortunately, since Texas A&M Kingsville wasn't eligible to join D1, I could easily see Corpus Christi getting to repeat right here.
Yeah. In terms of who else might be battling them, Griggs, do you have anybody else besides Corpus Christi?
Well, battling. I mean, I think that we're going to see some epic pillow fights in this conference.
I've been a big fan of the Go Colonels, Nicholls State, the last few years.
Yeah, you have.
Ty Gordon is a defending Southland Player of the Year. He is back. There's not enough other pieces around him, but, they pulled the one upset in the conference tournament championship game over Corpus Christi. That's all they need.
A team I kind of got my eye on just because they've got so many pieces back, although one of them is not their top player. New Orleans is, I could see them making some noise.
Okay.
I got to admit, though, I think the excitement of the preseason conference tournament was probably the high point for the Southland last year.
I watched every game.
Yeah. And the preseason conference tournament is gone now. They're up to 10 teams. That was just because they had scheduling issues getting enough games for these teams. But let's go over to the Southwestern Athletic Conference. Talk about a team that has a very good chance to go to Dayton. This conference is perennially on the 16 line, probably heading there again. Griggs, who do you think wins the conference?
Texas Southern. Yeah.
Johnny Jones, they won the conference tournament last year.
Yep. And I know that you probably like Southern.
I like somebody. I like Southern University. I like Sean Woods' team there. Four starters back, led by Tyrone Lyons. I'm on Southern, but you want Texas Southern? Okay.
Yeah. They won the conference last year and they got three starters back, won 19 games, which seems crazy to, for a Southland team. Johnny Jones done a pretty good job there. I just kind of like them. I guess the other question is Mississippi Valley. Might need to rename the Centenary Award the Mississippi Valley Award, and they are opening their season. They got a rather tough assignment on night number one. They're playing against Baylor.
Yeah, that Dayton one. I think that's the noon game. It's one of the first game of the season.
Yeah.
There's a couple of teams that, if we're going to talk about anybody else, we probably won't besides Southern and Texas Southern. Bethune-Cookman, I think, is always worth mention here with Reggie Theus there, the head coach. Joe French, who's probably one of the league's best players, but the team did lose 21 games last year.
They have nine starters, or they have all five starters back, but they only won nine total games, and Reggie Theus is the coach.
Yeah.
A couple problems.
Alabama A&M has a kid, Garrett Hicks, a real good player, four starters back, but they also lost 20-plus games last year. But Salika, is there anybody that you look at this conference we haven't discussed?
Prairie View has also been a team that's been good in recent years. I don't know if they're going to be able to challenge Texas Southern or Southern this year.
Yeah, I'm not really in on the Prairie View this season. I think they're going to take a bit of a step back here. I'm just trying to even find my notes on them. I'm seeing two starters back. Maybe. I don't know. Salika, let me stick with you. Jump over to I believe we're up to the Summit League next. Yes, we are. And your thoughts on this conference, which has, a couple pretty good teams in it.
It's not going to be the usual suspects as far as North Dakota State and South Dakota State that we usually hear competing for the conference. Oral Roberts is a team that's actually getting love as the preseason champion this year. And keep in mind, it was only 2 years ago where they got a 15 seed and snuck into the Sweet 16 of the NCAA COVID tournament.
And we're a missed shot away from going to the Elite Eight.
Yeah. Oral Roberts, Max Abmas is back for, I think, his 5,000th season here at Oral Roberts. I know they are the preseason pick. We can't completely ignore South Dakota State. They went perfect in this conference. Regular season, conference tournament, won 30 games last year. They did lose their top two players, but I don't think we could write them off, Griggs, at all.
No, and I'm still going with South Dakota State to win the tournament or to win the conference. I really like this Oral Roberts team. The one thing that I just can't get past, they're not the best defensive team. And when you're that reliant on the outside shot, and they hit a lot of them, but there's just going to be days where the shot's not going in. And when it's not, what else do you have in your arsenal? I mean, it wouldn't shock me at all if Oral Roberts won. They certainly have shown that they can, but I'm still going with South Dakota State.
I'm going to go away from both of you here and go with the third team.
Please let it be who I think it is.
I'm going with the Yotes.
Yes, the Yotes. I love the Yotes.
The Yotes, they got a lot back. They have a very deep team. They have some stars in Archibald and Paul Bruins. There is a lot to like about this Yotes team. I get Oral Roberts, all the pieces they have, and still some of the experience from a few years ago. I get South Dakota State. I just have a feeling about the Yotes this year. And maybe that's all it is a feeling, but...
AJ Plitt, they got a good team. I almost picked them. I just couldn't do it over South Dakota State. But, I'm a Yotes fan.
Up next is the Sun Belt. First of all, very different conference, up to 14 teams now, out as both Little Rock and Texas Arlington, in James Madison, Marshall, Old Dominion, and Southern Miss. Bit of a mess with those last three coming getting in, whether they're going to be allowed to join this year. Conference USA didn't want them to leave yet. They are here. They're in this conference. It's 14 teams now. It's a big mess of a league. And while there's some programs here that are pretty good, even in football, I'm not a big fan, Sleek, of what this conference is going to do this year in basketball. This is probably a 14-seed top conference, in my opinion.
I mean, let's be frank. Football is driving the bus when it comes to this conference here. But I would be curious to see how James Madison is going to be doing this year in their inaugural season in the Sun Belt, especially after getting exiled from the conference tournament from the Colonial in their swan song last year.
Four starters back. It's going to be a good team.
I'm glad you brought them up, Stalika. Like, they didn't get a whole lot of love at Media Day. I actually picked the finish. Let me see notes here. Fifth or sixth. I'm sorry, fourth. I guess that isn't too bad. But four starters are back, and most people forget this was a team that was kind of ravaged with injuries and COVID protocol. Very rarely did we get to see them at full strength last year. I think they're a dark horse. I think they can win this league.
But they did have one shining moment last year, and that was their home win against Virginia on CBS Sports Network.
It was, and look at, and granted, that was a home game, but look at what they could do when they were at full strength, something they very rarely were a year ago. I think that they're better than what people realize because they just weren't used to seeing them when they were able to strut their stuff.
I like James Madison here. I don't know that I'm going to pick them. I think this Marshall team is going to be a very dangerous team in this conference here. Are these teams going to be ready for Marshall's style of play and the speed that they play at? I don't know.
Going to be ready for Marshall's
style? They got Tavian Kinsey. They've got four returning starters. You've got Texas State coming back with their point guard, Mason Harrell, back. A couple of transfers coming over from Florida. So I do like this Texas State team, but my pick, I'm going with the Raging Cajuns here this year.
That's who a lot of people in the media like. It wouldn't shock me if they won it. I'm going with the dark horse, James Madison.
Okay. I think that Louisiana is going to be the best defensive team in the league in all likelihood.
They probably will be. Go ahead, Stalika. I was going to say, I'm thinking 15 line. Go ahead.
But also keep an eye on Georgia State, who's now going to have a new head coach in Jonas Hayes, and also brings in Dwan Odom from Xavier with him. Keep in mind, Hayes is undefeated as a quote-unquote interim head coach, but now he gets the real deal.
Yeah, no, I don't think this year is going to be anything for Georgia State. Maybe give him a few years there, but not this year. Oh, I think it's going to take a little bit of time there. We have an error message. That did not work. Okay. The last of the conferences we're going to be discussing tonight is the Western Athletic Conference. First of all, the changes. Southern Utah in, Texas Arlington in, Lamar after the one quick season here back up for the Southland, Chicago State out as well. But a 13-team league here. And, well, I guess Grace, we normally have to start with the powerhouse, the perennial favorites here in this league every year, and this will be the last time they'll be this because they're off to Conference USA soon, is New Mexico State.
Yeah.
But zero starters back this year.
Right. They've always been transfer heavy. This year, they're almost transfer exclusive. We're used to seeing them win 25 plus games. It's the norm there. I was so happy that they finally won a game in the round of 64 after just years and years of frustration of being really good, but seemingly underseeded. I always thought that they were better than their paper and therefore didn't get the seeds that they should have gotten, and nearly beating Auburn the year Auburn went to the Final Four, nearly having many other close calls for them to finally get to the round of 64 a year ago. But again, I think the reason they're picked so high, maybe they will be this good, but I just think everybody's so used to seeing them win 25 games.
Yeah. The team, though, that I'm going for here, Salika, I'm looking at Bryce Drew's team. Javon Blackshear's back. They're bringing in Rayshon Harrison, a Presbyterian transfer, who was freshman of the year in the Big South last year, the Lopes.
Yeah, I've got to think they're going to be the preseason pick right here. Also, keep an eye on California Baptist, who is eligible for the NCAA tournament for the first time this year in the Division I era.
Yes, well, welcome California Baptist, and we didn't discuss them earlier, but North Alabama over in the ASUN, both fully eligible this year.
I don't think it'll make that much of a difference for North Alabama.
Well, maybe not for California Baptist either.
There's a team I have
either
to discuss here, Chad. I don't know if you read the write-up from Media Day or saw Media Day. Seattle.
Thank you. Please discuss them.
This just defies any and all common sense. Pick to finish sixth in the poll. Like, I think the coaches picked them sixth and the media picked them seventh. Seattle, the first place team from a year ago, Seattle, two really good all conference players back, two other starters back, some good French players back. Good
23 wins. 23 wins last year.
23 wins. How the hell? They're my pick to finish first. What am I missing? I was so surprised when I was doing it. I had to like look to make sure I was looking at the men's poll and not the women's one by mistake. I was asking around. I think I called you, didn't I? And I was like, what the hell is wrong with Seattle? Who's hurt? What happened? Nothing happened. This is just stupid. How the hell do you pick them seven?
I agree with you. I like the Seattle team this year. Now, I don't think that they are heads and shoulders above teams like Grand Canyon. You got Abilene Christian, who's turned into a perennial powerhouse, almost in this perennial contender in whatever league they've been in between the Southland and the WAC now. They've got a couple big players back. Southern Utah, who's coming into this league, has a lot coming back from last year as well. And I think the Southern Utah team could be up there also. But I think Seattle should be
Utah,
among the
another
discussions.
Team that didn't get any respect. Like, they're good. Southern Utah is good.
And you know, Stephen F. Austin, I don't know that they have anything this year, but they are a team that historically has been good. So there's a lot better WAC than we've seen for a long time this year, though.
So you know what the WAC has become this year? It's become the Beehive Conference from last year.
So the WAC, but I'm looking at a new team here in the WAC this year, by the way. We have Dixie State is out and Utah Tech is in.
Utah Tech in, replacing Dixie State.
Yeah, new name for the school. They are now known as Utah Tech, no longer known as Dixie State. As far as the seed line here goes, I think there's a chance at the 13 line here. Probably 14.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Probably 14, but a chance at the 13.
I think the 13. I was going to say 13.
Ever since we started doing, or very shortly after we started doing these under the radar podcasts, we started doing them conference by conference. We've gone through 22 groups of teams and some fictional conferences in the last few years. Yeah, we'll get to those during the regular season. But we have two under the radar schools we have not discussed yet. And I think it's time we discuss them here. Let's talk about them for the first time in 10, 12 years. We have two schools that are not affiliated with any conference. We have a pair of independents there, Chicago State and Hartford, getting their moment in the sun here. Hartford on their way out of Division I. This is one transitional year here. They're technically D1, technically postseason NCAA tournament eligible as an at-large bid. Won't happen. They have nobody back from last year.
Nobody.
They barely even put together a schedule. They are going to be the only issue I have with Hartford is, are we going to even let them be eligible for the centenary? Because it's almost not fair with what little they have here for them to win our centenary award.
Yeah, that's a good question. Although the reason centenary came into existence was because of centenary, who was in a very similar situation.
So we'll think about that. The other team, Chicago State, this team wanted to get into the MEAC, who only has 8 members, kind of a conference that needs teams. And the MEAC said, no, thank you. We're not interested in you joining. I don't even know where this team is going. I mean, other conferences that you're looking at here, like maybe the Ohio Valley or the Horizon League or the Summit League are a step above the conferences that don't want them.
I do not think the Summit League will have any interest at all. I think the Horizon League might, possibly the Ohio Valley, but the Horizon League, from what I understand, is open to a 12 team and a 22 game schedule, which, oh my God, I just can't put in the words how much I hate that. But I have a feeling that might be where they land.
All right, so we'll keep a look at, but I don't think they're going to remain an independent much longer. But this year, at least, they will be an independent. Would they put together a heck of a let's pull up a schedule here? Chicago State. What type of schedule do you even put together? You put together. Let's see. You've got a bunch of non D1 schools in January and February because that's all who will play you. I think you got Hartford twice. They got a trip to Gonzaga March 1st. There you go. This is a rough schedule. Here's the big challenge, Sleeka. Can you find the home games?
I mean, I can find
it. You are at home.
There we go. We found the home game. If you're a season ticket holder for Chicago State, you're going to be very upset because you're not getting a lot of your money this year. We have 1, 2, 3, 4 D1 home games, 4 non-D1 home games. Everything else is on the road. Ugh.
Yeah. Oh boy. Not a good existence. I this is a program. I just think that it shouldn't be as bad as it is. And they're bad in everything. They are bad in every sport that exists. Their facilities are horrible. They're not supported. Why is it that this school really is so neglected in just about every aspect? Good grief.
That note here, let's go ahead and pull that screen down here. That does conclude all of our Under the Radar preview. So I want to run through each of you for any of their final thoughts. Talika, let me start with you.
Unfortunately, I didn't get to join the MAC conference in time, but
we gave a shout out to you for it, but go ahead.
But you know, I'm going to have to bring up Mother Miami and Travis Steele. Will they be able to get up to sixth place? Because I don't see them breaking the top five that's going to include Ohio, Akron, Toledo, Buffalo, and one other team I'm probably blanking on. Kent State, I think.
I believe the MAC only allows the top 8 teams of the conference tournament, at least they only did last year. Making the conference tournament would be getting the top 8 would be an accomplishment for Travis Steele his first year, I think.
I also have to add, after what happened during the conference tournament last year, is there going to be any rivalry that's going to be more anticipated than the wagon wheel between Ken and Akron?
Yes.
Griggs.
Okay, I'm going to need the screen share here, Chad. You got it disabled. Final thought. Well,
okay, go ahead.
And I'll get started. Let me see if we – yeah. But anyway, last year a team that we talked about quite a bit was Carver Bible College. We did not cover them today because, sadly, I think we've already discussed this, they were declared a non-countable opponent. And due to accreditation or not being real or really being a computer in a shed or something, I don't know, but either way, they don't count. And what it inspired me to do is I have decided, and I'm very excited about this, Chad, I have decided to create the David Griggs, there it is. Is it on the screen? The David Griggs College Basketball Bible College. This is new. We're stuck in the fighting puppets. And this is a real institution. You see here, I just want to talk about it a little bit. These are the degrees we offer. We have College Basketball Bible Studies, a Bachelor of Arts. We have General Studies, Bachelor of Arts. We also have, Chad, College Basketball Bible Studies, a Bachelor in Science, and General Studies, Bachelor of Science.
This is definitely a BS college here. Go ahead.
we're accepting applications. You know, click here to become a fighting puppet. Apply today. We're looking for players like the college basketball experience you're going to have at the David Griggs College Basketball Bible College is nothing else anywhere in the world. We're going to play in cities that have some of the nicest hotels in the world. Like, we're going to play in those cities. you know, we'll have a wide range of schedule. Nobody else will even dream of playing the schedule. If you're, you know, just a little bit more, what else we got there? We'll take any measures we have to make sure that you're eligible. And we're going to get to know the media really well. In fact, we're going to be eating at the free, you know, pre and post game complimentary media rooms when we go on the road. If you'd like to schedule us, this is where you go. If you're a coach, if you want the Fighting Puppets on your schedule, package is starting at $50. See, here's our campus. And for whatever reason, we don't have any pictures right now, but I'm excited, Chad, the Fighting Puppets.
All right. All right. So if you're interested in going to play college basketball and no other schools are interested in you and you've got eligibility left, you can contact David Griggs and apply to become a member of the David Griggs University College Bible Basketball.
The David Griggs College Basketball Bible College.
Okay. And your accreditation is...
We're working on that.
Okay. I guess on that note, I don't even know what to say after that.
I give them about 5 or 10 years before Saxcock accredits them.
On that note, I want to thank everybody for joining us. If you're looking for any of the other conferences we did not discuss tonight, they have their own. They're up on the season previews tab. If you're looking for a conference we did discuss tonight and you missed it, rewind the video, watch it again. If you're looking for our preseason bracketology, well, that we're going to be recording tomorrow night as our final preseason podcast. That will be coming in as well. But on behalf of John Stalica, David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again real soon.